from Connect FM. This is Under Review, your weekly deep dive into the world of sports with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing.
Do you like the Lions and Cowboys as mainstays on Thanksgiving? Do you prefer ham to turkey? What about mashed potatoes or stuffing? We'll cover some great Thanksgiving debates and preview a great slate of games for the holiday.
The Dubois Beavers boys basketball team begins its season on Tuesday. Could this be a season to remember for local basketball fans? We'll talk to Dave Bennett about the goals and expectations for this year's squad.
Josina Anderson is reporting that a quote-unquote longtime head coach is considering a change of scenery. Might it be Mike Tomlin? Should it be? We'll touch on this and other quick hitters at the end of the show. I'm Dave Glass.
I'm Dave Herzing.
And I'm Bob Anderson. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go under review.
Sponsored by Petula Eye Care, the Falls Creek Eagles, and Nebraska Plastic Surgery.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio.
Welcome to Under Review for Wednesday, November 26th. It's Thanksgiving Eve. What's your plans for Thanksgiving, guys?
I'm just going to eat a lot of food. I might have a few libations with some family and friends. Really excited. Anyone who's listened to this show, anybody who knows me knows Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I absolutely love it. I'll be up first thing tomorrow morning cooking. We're making pies tonight. We're pre-gaming, doing a lot of different stuff. And then tomorrow's the big day. So the turkey's brining and we're ready to roll.
I've got all the kids coming in. I used to really, really not like Thanksgiving because there's always been a lot of people in my house. And it's just more people. But now the kids are all moved out. It's different. I'm looking forward. Some of them are coming in tonight. Some are coming tomorrow. So I think it is one of those holidays that does get better as you get older, but I still don't have anywhere near the affinity for it that you do.
I get so pumped up about all this stuff. My kids are super pumped. By the way, before I forget, I got to give a shout out to my nephew, Big Dave Herzing, and my other nephew, Jackson Webb. Also my son, Darren. They are super excited. They told me they'd love a shout out. Stranger Things, the final season premieres on Netflix tonight. They are so ready. They're having a Stranger Things party in our basement as we speak. So shout out to those boys. It's going to be a fun night.
Hey, boys, I know how you feel. I feel that way for the NFL draft. So I hope you enjoy your Stranger Things tonight. We're going to preview some Thanksgiving games, which there are some really good games here if you've looked ahead. But before we get to that, I got to ask you guys a few great Thanksgiving debate questions. Some are not sports related. So let's start with this. Better food, ham or turkey on Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, look, my wife's Jewish.
Dave's going to say none of the above.
No, we don't have ham in my house.
Oh,
we just don't.
Well, there you go. All right.
So, I mean, turkey is the traditional thing. I would prefer ham. I like ham. But that is just never going to happen in my house. So I don't even know how to answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's turkey. You got to cook turkey correctly. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't know how to cook turkey. Over the years, you perfect it. You brine it. You put a cheesecloth over it with butter. You stuff butter up underneath the skin. You spatchcock the turkey. Yeah, there's ways to make turkey so much more flavorful and juicy. The key is when you've got a good turkey, you know it when it's juicy. There's nothing worse than a dry turkey, and you got to smother it with gravy or dip it in cranberry sauce.
All right, white meat or dark meat?
Dark meat. I prefer dark meat. It's much more flavorful.
Okay. Dark meat all the way. Give me a piece of the breast, and a little piece of the breast and a roll or something, and you get lost to the rest of that stuff. I don't want any of it, except the pie, maybe.
Well, we got to ask, what is your favorite pie then, or favorite dessert?
Favorite dessert. I have lots of favorite desserts.
Found something you like.
That's right.
To traditional, Jess is making a blueberry pie. I love a blueberry pie. I do not like pumpkin pie at all. So don't like cranberries, don't like mashed potatoes, don't like gravy, don't like most stuffing. It's just not.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I'll hammer all that stuff. I am literally, tomorrow I'm just going to be eating nonstop. My favorite food in the world is my mom's stuffing. My mom has a particular way that she made her stuffing. Actually, we do it every single year. It's just something I really look forward to. So that's my favorite food. But for desserts, Bob, my favorite is pecan pie or rhubarb pie.
Ooh.
So those are my two favorite pies.
I would go neither of those. although I can say I've never had pecan pie.
Oh,
so
it's delicious.
It's probably
I'll
better
have to have
than
Lindsay's grandmother make you some pecan pie. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If you don't like her pie, I don't know. Buddy, it's unbelievable pecan pie.
Peanut butter pie. That's my
favorite. That's good, too.
That's not bad.
All right, last one for you here because we got to get to the games. But the Lions and Cowboys have been playing traditionally every year since, my gosh, the Lions have been there since 1934. Cowboys have been there since 1966. Do you guys like those two teams playing every year, the tradition of that?
You know, I used to not, but now I really think it's okay. And this is ironic because as much as I don't like the Thursday games, the rest of the league having the Thursday games means, it's okay. Everybody gets Thursday games. Before, when they were the only two, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Detroit stinks every year, which is not true anymore, obviously. Yeah. But for year after year after year, it's like, this is the worst team in the league. Why do I have to watch them at 12:30 every stinking year?
Yeah. I mean, it was only exciting when I was a kid when Barry Sanders was there, and that was it.
There was like a five-year window. It's like, okay, Barry Sanders show. Yeah. This is great. The rest of the time, it was horrible.
No, but the thing that get lost to the Black Friday game. What are we doing with the Black
this
Friday
This is the
game?
NFL. They would play every day of the week if you let them.
That's just so stupid.
And twice on Friday nights.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. The short rest these guys are having to deal with and everything else, especially this time of year.
Well, look at the injuries.
Yeah,
it just keeps getting worse, and they just keep adding games.
The worst part is the time. It's a 3 o'clock game.
It's
like,
so
who's going to watch football at 3 o'clock?
No, it's just an odd thing. I mean, I don't know. But no, I love the tradition. Sports have become less and less about traditions. Things keep changing. I'm actually more excited for Ohio State Michigan on Saturday. That's going to be much better to me than any Thanksgiving game or any NFL game this week.
All right, well, let's talk about these games. We got the Packers 7-3-1 at the Lions 7-4. The Lions are favored by 2.5. Dave, what do you got?
Oh, well, do you want the update or are we going to do that later?
We can do that later.
We can do that later. All right. Well, this is a really interesting game because, you know, right out of the bat, you know, off the bat, Green Bay hosted Detroit and pounded them early on. And we're like, ooh, you know, might be a changing of the guard. But Detroit's, you know, they almost lost, you know, they kind of messed around last week. They're not as strong as they were, but they're still pretty strong, especially at home. This is only a 2.5-point game. This one's really hard for me to figure. I'm going to take Detroit only because they're at home, but I don't feel great about it.
I'm going to take the Packers only because the way they played against Minnesota, they looked a lot different than what they've looked previously. So give me the Packers in this one.
I'm going to take the Packers here, too. I don't know
why. You're abandoning your Lions?
You know,
I'm so disappointed in you.
I have no clue with this game. It's a coin flip for sure. This is actually the first time all year that Green Bay's been an underdog, according to Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. That's odd.
Yeah. Kansas City 6-5 at Dallas 5-5-1.
What a game.
Yeah, Kansas City, I got favored by 4.5.
It's his turn, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. Kansas City, they impressed me how they came back against Indy, but Dallas impressed me even more. What in the world is going on?
The water.
Absolutely. What is going on with the Cowboys? I mean,
they look good. They actually traded for some defensive players, and they look a lot better.
They're a different team, but there's blood in the water. Mahomes can smell it. They've basically got to win out. If you look statistically, you know, the teams that were in the position that the Colts were before they, or I'm sorry, the Chiefs were before they beat the Colts, KC's got to win out, especially in you know, where they are, you know, looking with Denver ahead of them and some other teams. So yeah, give me the Chiefs in this one.
I'm going to take Dallas here. Dallas is 3-1 at home this season. Kansas City is 1-4 on the road. I think Dallas has found something, and I think they can keep it close here.
I told my son, I'm like, it's zombie Mahomes. You had to finish him off last week. They should have finished him off. They had a chance to finish him off. They didn't finish him off. I think Kansas City's going to win. The 4.5 is what gives me pause. I could see it being a 3-point game where Kansas City still pulls it out. The thing is, Dallas, they got down 21-0. They showed a lot of moxie, and I was around a whole bunch of Philly fans. I was down in Hershey at a convention.
Oh.
Most of the commissioners are from the east side who go, and they're very, very ticked off because we were at dinner. They went to dinner.
Off.
It was 21-0. They're like, oh, Eagles. Dinner gets done, and I'm like, hey, guys. And they're like, oh, you know, they were freaking out. So But Philly, you know, they've been doing that all year. They have been just kind of looking meh, you know. Their offense looks out of sync. Right. If you can't put up 30 on this Dallas team, you know, that's not good.
Will Barkley have 10 carries, 22 yards?
What is going on with Saquon Barkley? I don't know whether he's masking an injury. I don't know whether it's just he is not the same player. He looks like Saquon Barkley from when he played as like his third year in the Giants. Well, I mean, he just doesn't look the same.
Just look at the record of running backs when they get around 30, and we'll leave that at that. But I'm going to go ahead. I just can't go against Kansas City here. I don't really believe in Dallas yet, so I'm going to go with KC.
Okay, and the nightcap is a divisional matchup. The Bengals 3-8 at the Ravens 6-5. Baltimore favored by 6.5. Joe Burrow making his return. So I'm going to take the Bengals here. The Ravens have won 5 in a row, but I still don't think they look very good.
No, I think
Lamar is still hurt. I think in a divisional game, the Bengals keep it close.
I just cannot get myself to take the Bengals anymore. They just, you know, yeah, Burrow's back. And he does, look, he makes a huge difference for them. But that defense still stinks.
Yep.
They're terrible. They're going to give up 30 points here. Whether they can score 30 is an open question. You know, how is Burrow going to show any rust? That's a long time off. And all of a sudden, guys, we'll talk more about this later. Guess who's leading the division?
Yeah.
Baltimore. Yeah. So, I mean, if they all they have to do is take care of business and it's there. So
I'm actually going to take Cincy in this one, though. Burrow being back, that's the best. I'll tell you, they had a segment on First Things First about the injuries we were saying here a second ago, how someone like Burrow, the greatness of Burrow, people aren't able to see it because he's so injury-riddled. But I think this is a good opportunity for him to come back to prove the type of quarterback he is. He's got all the weapons. Chase will be back. So, yeah, give me the Bengals in this one. Yeah,
you took all the away teams? Uh-huh. Thank you. That's good. Yes. I feel much better right now.
Away teams.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's time to get to a break. When we return, we'll talk to Dave Bennett of the DuBois Beavers basketball team. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by Fatula Eye Care, the Falls Creek Eagles, and Nebraska Plastic Surgery on Connect FM.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is brought to you by Fatula Eye Care. From eye exams to contacts and more, Dr. Dan has you covered. The DuBois boys basketball team begins its season on Tuesday. Here to talk about the team is head coach Dave Bennett. Dave, welcome back to Under Review.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, you're running into your eighth season here, I'm seeing. You've had 7 straight winning seasons, including a 19-4 overall record in 2009, 19, and 20. What do you credit for that success?
I think we've had a good group of young men come through the program, and obviously our support staff from the middle school through high school. We have a lot of coaches very invested. Parents are very invested. And, you know, sometimes along with that, you get a good group of young men that work very hard, and sometimes you need a little luck also. And fortunately, some good things have come together over the last 8 years.
Well, that's music to D's ears over here.
Buddy, Dave, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited for this season. All my buddies and I just cannot wait to see you guys go out there. I played against you. I've watched as many DuBois Beavers basketball games as anyone you'll ever meet. And this team right now, I think, is poised for a lot of success. Tell us about it.
It's a great group, great blend. You know, we have 6 seniors on the team. We have some high level athletes on the team. You know, not all basketball players certainly, but people have that, you know, great work ethic, experience success in other sports, going on collegiately in some other sports. So I think for now, it's a matter of maximizing who we can or need to be from a basketball standpoint, because we might not be the most skilled basketball group, but we do have size. We have some physicality. Our identity needs to be defense. And if we play at the defensive end at a very high level and rebound the ball, I think we can get out in transition. And I think that's probably where we will be best offensively.
Well, Dave, you mentioned, or Dee said he played against you, so I got to ask you, what's the scouting report on Dave Herzing? What kind of player is he out there?
You just hope to contain him. That's all you can do. You can only hope to contain him.
Well, I will say this. My brother was better than I was. I was one of those kids. I was much more of an energy guy. I'd fill the cup every now and again. But
he's
back
a fourth
then,
liner.
I was a starter, all, but yeah. I was a guy who – back then it was funny. Everything worked from inside out, not outside in. Vice versa. The game wasn't a real transition game back then either. It was guys on the block, so we had a couple good players that were pretty decent. So everything ran through them. So it really limited the scoring opportunities.
So I have to ask a different question. I'm the official of the group, and I don't have much experience with basketball. But are there any rules changes that are of any interest this year? I know some years there are, some years there aren't. Did the NFHS or PIAA put anything in?
Nothing of significance. There's a few items that are more points of emphasis that were already in the rule book. So I think the big thing will be, you know, coming in a couple of years, the shot clock, obviously, that we're inching closer to that. So that can be exciting.
So before we move forward, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I'm one who was adamantly against it in baseball as a kind of a purist. And as soon as I saw a minor league game with the pitch clock, I'm like, okay, yep, this solved a problem. So, you know, is it just a matter of, like in football, that they brought the 40-second clock down from the lower levels and now everybody's just used to it? You think it won't be a big deal in high school, or do you think it'll be a massive change?
Well, I think it will be a massive change in the style of play. I absolutely love it because I think basketball, there's many ways to play basketball. And when you don't have a shot clock, if you're losing, you're forced to play pressure man-to-man defense or trapping gambling defense. And really, if you were just solid defensively and somebody has to shoot it within 30 seconds, you can still play the game another way. But right now, if you're down 8 points in the fourth quarter, you can only play one way. And I don't think that's how basketball is meant to play. And then so now you see people hold the ball all the time, and that drives me insane. So I think it'll be really exciting.
I agree with you. 100%.
Dave, don't even get me started on that. I've been crying for a shot clock forever. The style of play around here needs to change, and I hope it will. My brother-in-law is actually up visiting from down south, and he refs high school basketball down there. They've had the shot clock down there for several years, and he said it's completely transformed the style of play. So I'm looking forward to that. You mentioned your athleticism on your team. A team like yours, you've got, you know, collegiate athletes on the floor, in particular your son Maddox. He's going to play at West Liberty. I don't know whether it'll be the first game or the second game. He's going to break the scoring record. What are your thoughts on that? And his success has been something else for sure.
It's kind of a surreal moment right now because obviously he and I have worked out together for many years. You know, fortunately, he probably has more of his mother's build, so he's at a 6'7", 6'8" right now. That
big
is
kid.
Helpful. But it's an exciting time, and I think that it'll be interesting for him in a bit of a challenge this year because we don't really have a pure point guard on our team, and he will have to fill the role as point guard. And if anybody's seen him play, you know, for years he's coming off screens, mm-hmm. Looking to score, probably looking to score first, looking to score second, and then maybe that's even his third option. But his role will be very different this year. But it's exciting, you know. I see, and I'm probably speaking half coach, half father, but seeing the amount of work that he's put in over the years into his game and into his body and lifting, and now before you blink your eyes and it's senior year for all these guys, and that group of seniors is a special group to me. So I'm trying to savor it, but I definitely want time to slow down as well.
Oh, for sure. Well, one thing I noticed my son is only 13 years old and he loves hoops. He's obsessed with watching college and the NBA, just like I still am. And I was when I was his age. One thing that I enjoy going to the games for is my son gets to see leaders out on the court. And you have several leaders, not only Maddox, but you have Noah Farrell and Trey Wingard. Trey was in here talking with us earlier, you know, again, having a guy like that who, you know, is going to play at Delaware and Noah's going to play UConn, that's only going to take some of the burden off of Maddox. So I think it's going to be a really exciting season. One last question. What are your thoughts about the new league?
Yeah, for me, mixed feelings, okay, because what we've done for years is we've tried to schedule as challenging as we can, because when we get to the playoffs, 5A is a different animal. You know, where you're playing the Meadvilles, mm-hmm. Johnstown, all those Whippeel 5A teams, Chartiers Valley, Gateway, all, you know, the teams we've run into in the past, that you need to be battle-tested. So it's good that we were able to hold some things together for some traditional rivalries, and then the crossover with the small school division. I mean, there's a lot of good small schools, but that probably goes against what our scheduling philosophy has been. And that's five extra games against, you know, smaller schools. So, but I think that we've still had enough non-league games to schedule competitively. And then we have, some natural rivalries. It's funny, you know, since I've been coaching at Dubois, we've never played at Dubois Central Catholic, and this year we play at Dubois Central Catholic. So I think things like that will be like fun experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So that kind of leads into the question I was going to ask, and if you may not want to answer it, but I'm going to ask anyway. When you look at the schedule, who do you think the two or three, you know, most challenging teams are that you're going to face?
Ooh, on any given night, I don't want to go all coach speak on you, but on any given night, it literally could be anyone, you know. But if you go down our schedule, all the league games, because league games are different. Everybody knows each other. Scouting is probably a different level because of familiarity. So those are all challenging right off the top, you know. I'll just speak from a non-league standpoint. You know, Cranberry, that's our first game of the year. Last year they beat Brookville in the district championship, and they have every guy back. So December 2nd, next Tuesday, that's going to be a challenging game. Indiana, it's going to be a fun one. They have a junior that is getting some high major attention. I know that Penn State, Marquette, Louisville have been in to see him. He's 6'8", and we're playing them at IUP, so that should be a really fun one. I know Hollidaysburg last year won 20 games, and they have just about every guy back. So our schedule's loaded with landmines, so it's going to be a really fun year.
Well, we're going to end it with this, Dave, and we got about a minute and a half left. So I'm going to put a full court press on you. These are rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Your favorite practice drill?
Cutthroat defense. That's if you make a mistake, you can only score when you're on defense. If anybody on the defensive team makes a mistake, that team has to go to offense where they can't score. The other team gets to play defense.
All right. Road gym with the best atmosphere?
Ooh, probably Elk County Catholic.
Your favorite basketball coach of all time?
I'm gonna go with Coach Straub, and because of one,
ooh,
I played
nice
for him. Two, just incredible sustained success.
Who would win a game of horse, you or Maddox?
Oh, me. No question.
Wow. All right, you or D?
Hey, I'm hooping. I don't know, Dave, I'll tell you what, buddy, you're up there at the higher levels. I'm doing form shooting down with the seventh graders, so, you know, maybe in tight I got you, but deep, you know, we don't allow those seventh graders to bomb too many threes, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dave, before I'm just walking into the gym for practice here, and before we came, Maddox, he had a couple little hiccups with his shot that he didn't like how it felt this week. So we were right back down to basics on a few things as well. So those basics never go away.
That's a good thing. You know what? I'm going to say Coach Bennett said this on the show, and I'm going to tell my son that, because I'm like, buddy, you're not anywhere near where you need to be. You're getting by that rim, and we're going to get your form straight before anything else.
Hey, Dave, that's great stuff. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving. We wish you guys a great season ahead, and thanks again for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Under Review is sponsored by Fatula Eye Care. When we return, we'll talk about the Week 13 slate in the NFL. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Under Review Sports Talk. More takes, more talk, more sports. Let's go back to the guys.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is sponsored by the False Creek Eagles, home of the best fish fry around. Swing by every Friday evening for a great meal and great company. It was another rough showing last week. Dave, what's the latest in the old pick'em contest here?
Well, guys, and I have a few things to say here. First of all, we went 1-6 in the games that we all agreed on, right? That's pretty terrible. And I think Jacksonville's the only one we got all right, which, I mean, come on, that's crazy. You and I, Bob, went 4-10, and D won the week with a 5-9. Yeah, so he pulls
into
a tie.
I am on fire.
He pulls into a tie.
As AI picks, I actually said today, I was sitting in the steam room chopping it up, and I was in there. Lonnie calls it the Ringworm Palace, but I'm in there. And I said to my brother, I said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to say on the segments this time, I'm going to bring a coin in and just flip
a
coin.
Probably
just see.
Be better off.
Well, yeah. I have a couple thoughts about this. First of all, we are the best advertisement for not sports gambling that there is. Okay, first of all. And second of all, I think if we do this again in the future, what's killing us is these 14.5 and these 12.5 point games that if in real life, I would never, ever, ever want anybody to ever bet those because you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we talked about this on our text thread. Seattle had Tennessee the whole game. That game was never close, and in the last 30 seconds, Tennessee scored to get the, you know, a terrible backdoor cover. They were never going to win that game. But that game probably meant a lot of money switched hands in the last 30 seconds. Yeah. And so that's a game there's no chance I would ever get near that, right? And there's some games on this, like, you know, Baltimore-Cincy. You don't know. In real life, I would never get anywhere near that.
No.
But, yeah, I just think that we have to be, you know, I really want to, especially if there's any kids listening, sports betting is a very dangerous thing, and our record when we're sitting here and we watch these games, and it just shows you how hard it is to get any sort of
anything.
Edge.
They said anything over 50% is considered the most elite.
Yeah, well, you know what? If even one of us gets to 50% this year,
yeah,
it'll be pretty darn good.
That's like bookie level.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's where we're at.
And that's why we haven't quit our day jobs.
That's it. That's exactly it.
All right. We got the Black Friday game that D's looking forward
to. Get lost.
The Bears and the Eagles both 8-3. Yeah. And the Eagles are favored by 6.5. What do you got, Dave?
That's right off the bat. Here's one that I wouldn't touch, a 6.5 point line with 6.5 foot pole, because Philly has really struggled. You know, they played a lot of closer games than they should. They're going to be really mad after that last game. Chicago, we saw with, you know, that's a pretty good team. You know, they're leading the division and the best division, I think, in football. So I'm going to take Chicago because of the points. I think 6.5 is too many the way Philly's playing. I am not at all sold on Williams at quarterback. He was if he was better, they would have blown Pittsburgh out
absolutely.
Of the water. He missed a lot of opportunities. But you know, they really made the adjustments in the second half and made Pittsburgh look pretty silly. So I think they're – I don't think – we'll get to Pittsburgh in a minute, but Chicago's not bad.
Yeah, I'd pick the Eagles to win this, but I'll take Chicago with the points. Mm-hmm. I mean, 6.5's a lot in this game. Both these teams, this is kind of like a prove-it game, I think, for both of these I mean, right now the Eagles are the most confusing team in the NFL. What do you make of them? With all that talent, and they just can't seem to get that offense going – and that collapse against Dallas, who would have ever saw that coming?
No, I certainly didn't. I'm going to take the Eagles. They're at home. I think they got the wake-up call last week, and I think they're going to give Caleb Williams a lot of trouble. We got the 49ers 8-4 at the Browns 3-8. D, 49ers favored by 6.5 again.
Give me the 49ers in this one. There's no way Shedeur Sanders is going to maybe he's going to prove me wrong.
You guys said that last week.
This is five straight road games for you.
I love it.
Putting that out there.
I love it. Give me the 49ers. I know they're favored, but give me the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Browns here. I think Shedeur gives them a little bit of a spark. They're going back to him, and this defense is for real.
It's the defense for me. Shedeur, they shouldn't let him throw 10 passes. They got, 10 sacks last week, I think?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. In the NFL, to get 10
That's
sacks,
incredible.
I don't care who you're playing.
That's incredible.
And Garrett is we've talked about it. You know, he is clearly the defensive player of the year. Yep. That Schlesinger, they're saying, is probably going to be the defensive rookie of the year.
And Mason Graham's really good, too.
And so, look, do I think San Francisco will win? It'll be close. I think this is a three-point game. I really do. And the other thing is Purdy, if you looked at what happened the other night, he really tightened up. He threw three interceptions. He might have lost some confidence there. So We'll see.
Jaguars 7-4 at the Titans 1-10. Jaguars favored by 6.5.
6.5 is the magic number this week.
It is. Sure is. I'm going to take the Titans here. You know what? They are due to make one close. They've covered actually in 3 straight weeks too. So give me the Titans at home here.
Not a chance. Not a chance. I mean, I would stay away from this, but I just, they're not any good. They're not any good. They Seattle was all over them. They're not any good at all. And Jacksonville, you never know what version of Jacksonville you're going to get. But
well, that's the reason why I'm taking the Titans, because you just don't know with Jacksonville. They're one of those teams, if you face them in the playoffs, they could look like a Super Bowl contender. And then, you know, the very next week, if they win a playoff game, they'll look like they should.
That's fine. You guys can try to win money taking the Titans. Good luck with that.
The one thing about the Jaguars is they're consistently inconsistent.
Yes.
Yeah. We got the Texans 6-5 at the Colts 8-3. Colts favored by 3.5. This should be a really good game.
Yeah. It's a weird line. Guys, 3.5.
Yeah,
that's a weird line.
I think it should be. Hook.
Yeah, it does. That little hook, buddy, is the one.
There's something. You know, Houston has a full real defense. All right, they've proven
the best.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I think Cleveland might be the best, but it's an interesting conversation. But they're like Cleveland; they have trouble scoring. Indy, pardon me, has come back to earth a little. Although they really should have beaten Kansas City.
They
had Kansas City on the ropes. I just. You know, every week we trap ourselves in taking too many road teams. I'm not doing it here. 3.5, Indy ought to be able to handle Houston by more than 3 points. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts in this one. I think they get back on track. So, yeah, give me the Colts in this one.
I'm going to take the Texans. The Colts go as Jonathan Taylor goes, and I don't think he's going to be able to run the ball this week. So
they might not.
Yeah. All right, so we got the Saints.
The worst game of the week,
Saints,
I think.
2-9 at the Dolphins, 4-7. Dolphins favored by 5.5, D.
You know what? I could care less. If I had the coin, I'd flip it. But you know what? I'm literally looking at the screen, and the first name that I saw was the Dolphins. So give me the Dolphins for that reason. This is one of those games, if you paid me $50 to sit and watch this game, I'd be like, here's your $50.
It's in Miami, which is the only in this time of year, I'd be like, hey, I might sit.
Well, I'd go to Miami for sure. I'd sit in Miami and watch the game, absolutely, and you know, go out and have fun. But yeah, this is just terrible. This is the problem with the NFL towards this part of the season. When the bad teams are really bad, when there's matchups like this, oh my.
Yeah, I
mean,
I won't be watching a single second of it. Well, maybe on the red zone, but I'll take the Dolphins as well. They're at home. They haven't quit. I think the Saints have.
Yeah, I have no interest in this game, and I'm going to take them. Miami's a different team at home. You know, that's why they're favored by 5.5.
All right. Well, we all picked the Dolphins, which means bet on the Saints.
Yeah, bet on the Saints.
Saints look
that's
really good
exactly,
right now. That's our first agreed game.
Yeah, when Under Review picks unanimously, go the other way, listeners.
Falcons 4-7 at the Jets 2-9. Falcons favored by 2.5. These Falcons, I don't know what to do with them. I mean, they have so much talent, but they just can't put it together. Mm-mm. I think they're due to win and cover. And fun fact, the Jets have yet to intercept a pass this season.
Oh, man.
Are you serious?
Has that ever happened in the NFL? I mean,
we'll have to look it up.
Yeah. Where's the Elias Sports Bureau? We got to get Jay or Jared in here for getting these stats in real time.
It's your pick, right. So.
I took the Falcons.
You're taking the Falcons?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to also take the Falcons just because I just – you know, if it was a bigger line, maybe, but I don't believe in the Jets at all.
You know what? I'm just going to take the Jets simply because...
Yeah, we don't want to agree.
No, we definitely don't want to agree, so I'm taking the Jets. That line is a goofy line. You'd think it'd be a little higher, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an odd line. There are a lot of hooks this week.
Cardinals 3-8 at the Buccaneers 6-5. Bucks favored by 2.5. Back to you, Dave.
Another strange line. 2.5 against a really bad Cardinals team. Let me ask you a question, Bob. Mr. Baker Mayfield is my main man. I just looked at their stats. They're being outscored on the year. Do you actually think that they're better than Pittsburgh?
At this point, no.
You asked me 4 or 5 weeks ago, I would have been like, absolutely.
I have more faith in them to improve as the season goes on, as they get healthier.
That may be, but not at this point.
No,
I was shocked when I looked up some of the numbers. They're actually not very good defensively at all. And having said that, this is the weirdest line I've seen in like a month. How can this not be a touchdown game? But I'm going to take Tampa. They're begging me to do it, so I'll play right into their hands.
Yeah, I there's no universe I could pick Arizona in this game. I mean, it's a home game for Tampa. They haven't been playing well. I think they get back on track. This is just what the doctor ordered for them. So, and this is kind of like a must-win game. I mean, there's
I
mean, they're right there, man.
Every team in that division is being outscored.
Yep.
That is the worst division in football right now.
Yep, give me the Bucks as well. Rams 9-2 at the Panthers 6-6. D.
Oh my, what's that?
Rams by 9.5 on the road.
Ooh.
It's a big number.
That's a big number, but the Rams right now are juggernauts. Give me the Rams. Who right now? Anybody? There's no one in the NFL's clicking like the way the Rams are.
No, they're wagon.
The only team that I would say is the Seahawks. I mean, they're right there. Those four turnovers was the difference.
Yeah.
Well, my loyal listener Pete Mangalardi sent me this. The Rams, you know what their salary is for their defense? $45 million.
Oh, they got a bunch of young guys, and they stocked up in that one draft.
Yep. You have to draft well.
Yep.
That's a whole other story, but you have to draft well.
I'm going to take the Panthers. It's tough for a West Coast team coming east, and that's a big number.
It's too many points. The Carolina's been playing well. I'm taking the Carolina. They have to hold it within 10. I'll take my chances.
Vikings 4-7 at the Seahawks 8-3. Seahawks favored by 9.5.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Seahawks. I know that's a big number. I shouldn't. Sam Darnold though should have extra motivation this week playing against his former team, and the Seahawks are 8-3 against the spread. That's the best in the league.
Well, and the other thing is, it looks like McCarthy might not play.
Max Brosmers.
Well, yeah, because I guess he's in concussion protocol, and I read today that basically they have a team. I don't want to call it a rule, but they don't let guys play the next week, which is really smart, by the way. I like that, but it's a total. You don't know what you're getting, and I also believe generally that the coaches have a pretty good sense. If a guy is second string, it's usually for a reason. So. I'm going to take Seattle.
I read a stat about J.J. McCarthy right now. He's on track to be worse than Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Unbelievable. What a bust.
So who you taking?
Who do you think? I'm taking Seattle. If this line was 18, I'd take Seattle.
Okay.
I mean, dear Lord, I think this is going to be a bloodbath.
I don't like it. Guys, we're all on the same page with it, but okay.
Raiders 2-9 at the Chargers 7-4. Chargers, we're stuck at nine and a half. These are three straight games, 9.5, Dave. You want to take the Raiders?
No, I don't. I'm going to take – I hate this line.
It might be as bad as the Titans.
I would stay the whole way away from this, but the way that Cleveland just throttled them spooked with the heck out of me, so I'm definitely taking the Chargers.
Yeah, I'll take the Chargers too. Division game, Chargers got to win, obviously. These games are very important. Give me the Chargers in this one. I realize that's a big line, but the Raiders stink.
You gonna talk yourself into it?
No, they stink. I'm taking the Chargers too. I'm not gonna watch that game, so now I don't have to. The Broncos 9-2 at the Commanders 3-8. Broncos favored by 6.5. D.
Broncos. Broncos. Yeah, I mean, actually, that line is odd too.
Yeah.
You'd think that would be a 9.5.
I know they're coming across country.
They're off a bye, but I know why this line is close. Denver. All year has played down to their competition. Oh. They are beating the good teams that they've played, but they have, I mean, what, the Giants, what were they up like? What was it, guys, 29-6 or something with 5 minutes to go?
True.
I mean, so this is a team that struggles. That's why if it was straight up, it wouldn't even be a question for me. If they weren't coming off a bye, I would take Washington. But because of the bye factor, I really think Denver's going to be ready and recharged, and they have a hell of a lot more to play for than Washington.
Oh,
Washington
really
wants to lose this game at the upper levels.
What
a
disappointing
I mean?
Season for the Redskins.
Yep. Yep.
Go from the NFC Commanders.
Champions.
All right, Giants 2-10 at the Patriots 10-2 to close it up here, Dave. Patriots favored by 7.5.
Yeah, boy, who would have thought that this line would be like this and that it would be like, and part of me is like, man, it should probably be more like 9, but I just don't know. You know, New England just keeps looking like they're the real deal, right? But they're
so
due frustrating. They're due to have one of those games. They can't be this good, right?
I don't know. I'll tell you what, they're playing as well. Imagine facing them in the playoffs. Yeah, that's something
I'm
going to
give you guys
see.
An opening. I'm going to take the Giants.
I'm taking the Patriots. I'll take the Patriots. Back to the home teams, Dave. I'm going home teams in the final stretch.
I'm taking the Giants here, too. They've actually been very competitive in these games. Yeah. They're actually one of the best 2-10 teams out there, I think. And Dart is supposed to return, I believe.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll still take the Patriots.
Okay.
I wasn't going to bring it up because I was trying to lure you into that.
That'll do it for all but the Steelers pick. We'll make that when we return and touch on some quick hitters. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by the False Creek Eagles on Connect FM.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is sponsored by Lebraska Plastic Surgery, where they help you look and feel your best. The Steelers haven't looked very good lately, and nor do they make us feel our best watching them, but we have to talk about them. And this week, they host the 7-4 Bills, who are also reeling. The Steelers are 6-5. Bills are favored by 3.5. One of those hook games. What do you got, D?
Dave, you called it. I got to pick Stairway. This is right now, they have to win this game, and I got to believe that Burrow is going to have some pull rabbit out of his hat and beat Baltimore. Pittsburgh's not going to go anywhere. I honestly, as much as I love to talk about Stairway, I want them to lose every game and just get rid of Tomlin already. I'm so sick. I'm so sick of Mike Tomlin. I'm so sick of his platitudes.
That's probably the best thing long-term for them.
Absolutely, but Buffalo is not that good of a team either. It's Josh Allen and nothing else. That's that team. And if Allen doesn't literally have a Superman cape on the entire game, Buffalo is a beatable team.
Yeah, they're especially beatable on the road. But I can't take the Steelers right now, not playing against Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has one of those Superman games against this really bad defense, and he seems to own the Steelers. So I'll take the Bills. Yeah.
Well, that's it for me. This has been for a few years now the worst matchup for Pittsburgh. They just can't seem to deal with him and what he brings. I see nothing that makes me think that they're going to be able to do it this time. 3.5 is a strange line. I think that's probably a lot of Pittsburgh, like people like you who are like, oh yeah, I'm going to still. And this, to be fair, this is exactly the sort of game that Tomlin has won the last few years when everything looks to be going against him. But I just feel like the house of cards is crumbling. They're not any good. They're not any good at all.
You know, those contracts they gave Hayward and Watt, and my God, those look so bad right now. Hayward's contract looks awful.
Awful, and I said let him walk. What are you doing?
Well, let me ask you guys, if you were to go out and buy a Steelers jersey right now, who would you even want?
Oh, I can tell you right now, the MVP. Boswell.
That's about the only
Boswell's
one.
Boswell's the man. By the way, Tomlin, shame on him for not letting Boswell try that kick.
Yes.
He's got the leg. It was 63 or 64 yards or something.
That's nothing for
him. Let him try it. For God's sake, what are you doing, Tomlin?
But you hit it right on the head. They're an average team that's been average or worse drafting. They're not doing. They're just another team now. There's nothing. There's no stars under 25 players.
Yeah, it's
there's none of them. They invested in the offensive line, and those guys are meh.
Did you see the stat? And I'm sure lots of listeners have seen it as well. It was passed all over Pickens' yardage totals.
Oh yeah. Yeah, what more than the entire Steelers team?
That's say that out loud. Yeah. Say. Yeah, I mean, you've got a guy who's a weapon with Metcalf, and then they had a stat about Rudolph. He had one pass over 10 yards.
This is why I can't pick them against a team like, if you're going to beat a team like Buffalo, you're going to have to be aggressive. Okay. You're going to have to take some shots. Yeah. And it's like every single Pittsburgh quarterback, except Aaron Rodgers the last few years, has been too scared to throw over the middle of this field. Yeah. And I don't understand what the heck's going on.
The graphic was eerily similar to what we've seen for the past, what feels like 1,000 years.
The Matt Canada offense.
The Matt Canada offense. Everybody bitched about Matt Canada, and now it's the same thing. I mean, they are not fun to watch.
You know what? It tells me maybe it was some Canada, maybe it's some of their offensive coordinator now, but it's more that they just don't have the receivers to do it.
About turnovers for them. Mike Tomlin, he could lose the game. As long as he wins a turnover battle, he's happy. It's always turnovers. They're just so risk averse.
Well, I'll tell you the thing that was disappointing too, back to, we call him Toe with the Loyal Sons. Like anytime we just know he's the MVP, we send a little toe or foot emoji. But like, he actually kind of threw Boswell under the bus in his presser. What are you doing? I mean, without
Boswell, all the problems you have, he ain't one.
Think about this for a second. As much as we watch the Steelers and people who listen watch the Steelers, imagine if they didn't have him.
Oh.
He's been like their primary offense for several years. I mean, you know, when you watch that team, 85% of the time you're like, yeah, here comes a field goal. You just know it because they have nobody to get in the end zone.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Josina Anderson's report that a longtime head coach in the NFL is considering leaving the franchise and getting a fresh start elsewhere. Could that be Mike Tomlin?
First of all, I hate clickbait like that. If you know something, say something. Don't just put it out there and like, oh, a long time. Well, okay, that doesn't tell me a darn thing. Not a darn thing. That story sucks. #GetLost to that kind of journalism. But I do think it's time. It's not, they're probably not going to fire him, but it's time for them to mutually part ways. He needs a fresh start. We definitely need a fresh start. And I'm giving Omar Khan one more year, and then we need a fresh start in the front office, because I know you were a big fan. And yep. On paper, those drafts look good, but they have not worked out, man.
No, not at all. And it's funny, when Colbert was there and in years past, the Steelers could draft, they would reload. You look at what the Steelers have done at wide receiver. Look at the players they've brought in at wide receiver, and look at what when's the last time you've seen them draft a wide receiver of any real significance? I mean, from her lips to God's ears, because I'll tell you, I said it a couple minutes ago, I am so sick of Mike Tomlin. It's time for him to leave.
I agree with you guys. They're stuck in the mud. It feels like the Penguins with Mike Sullivan in a lot of ways. Dave sent us a projected college football matchup that caught my attention. Pitt versus Penn State in the Pinstripe Bowl. Would that get you guys excited for that game?
Well, I think obviously that's why Pinstripe would do it, right? It would. Penn State's always a draw. Penn State Pitt would bring a lot of Pitt fans. I think that would be great for them. I actually think Penn State is almost certain to go there if they win the Rutgers game, which they probably should the way they've looked the last couple weeks. Pitt, with that big upset this week, may have worked themselves into a better bowl.
They could still make the college playoffs. They got to win the ACC.
But the ACC's trash, I'm not banging on Pitt. That conference stinks.
I don't think that'll happen. I think that they're going to work. Everybody involved is going to work hard to make that matchup if it's even theoretically possible. It definitely caught my eye. And the other thing that caught mine, I don't know, is the coach thing on your quick hitters?
Yep, that's
okay,
next.
Then we'll wait. But no, I think it's very, very possible. And it'd be a nice little reward, frankly, for turning this season around. I wasn't sure at all they were going to make a bowl a month ago.
Well, D, you're probably going to go to that if it
No,
happens.
I actually would. I might, cause only because of my son, because he's really gotten into Penn State football. We went down our whole family went down to the Nebraska game. It was, I'll tell you what, kudos to Penn State fans. Yeah, the students weren't there. Everybody knew that, so it wasn't nearly as loud, and the energy wasn't quite the same without all the students. But every other seat at West Shore Home Field or Beaver Stadium or whatever the heck you want to call it was filled, right? That place was rocking. It was nice to see Penn State play loose. They looked like a different team. They looked like the type of team that you thought you were going to see at the start of the season. Catron Allen, kudos to him. He's now the leading rusher at Penn State. Nick Singleton has the touchdowns. I mean, so it's been fun to see them get back.
Leading rusher in all of Penn State history?
Yeah, Catron Allen.
Wow, think about some of the running backs that have come
to. He surpassed Evan Royster. Catron Allen, I'll tell you what, I don't think he's going to be a high draft pick, but he's going to be – he'll be like a Miles Sanders or someone like that. He'll have a nice pro career.
Well, let's talk about the coach then, Terry Smith. I think he's done a pretty good job. Do you think he should be their head coach going forward? We'll start with you, D.
I don't. Because he's been a career assistant, the other thing – and without getting into the weeds, he wore a Paterno button, right? And I think that was a lot of – kind of pandering to the old blue blood Penn Staters because he played for Paterno. Look, Joe Paterno did down at Penn State, obviously, either people love him or they hate him, and it's such a divided camp. I think they need to move away from that mindset. James Franklin did a very good job of that. They need to bring in somebody with a fresh perspective. I completely disagree on they need to bring in a Penn Stater. Come on. This isn't the 80s. You know, you got to bring in somebody with a killer mindset. I don't know about this Chesney guy. I don't know one thing about him. They say he's coming from James Madison. He hasn't coached in Power Four at all, but apparently he's climbing the ranks. UCLA's after him. There's other schools after him. I don't know one thing about him, but I will say this. I'd rather have Terry Smith than that guy. I mean, what's he done? He's coaching at James Madison. Come on.
Well, what did Franklin done? He'd coached at Vandy, but
I don't want to
get into who it should be, other than to say a couple things. We already made one decision in emotion and haste when they cut Franklin loose. I think he was dead man walking, but to do it when they did, how they did, killed them for recruiting.
Yep.
Killed them. They're in real trouble next year and probably the year after.
A lot of recruits are going to Virginia Tech, by the way. They're decommitting.
So dumb. And that's a self-inflicted wound. And now, because you've won a couple games in a row that, frankly, everybody thought in the preseason you would win easily, now all of a sudden this guy's the greatest thing since sliced bread?
I will tell you this. If he would have won that Indiana game,
Well,
if he would have won that Indiana game, this conversation, well, he was one play away.
But I still think you don't make a decision in haste and in emotion. You have to get past the season, see what happens at the bowl game, and then take the long look. Because you know what? I'm going to say this. Joe Paterno would fail today.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. NIL, the way recruiting is, the way he wanted to do things, you don't move forward by looking back.
Yep.
Okay? Those days are gone. And I'm not even getting into the way that the Paterno era ended, which is a whole other situation.
Yeah, those are two different topics.
But you know what? I have nothing but respect for what Smith has done here, and I want it to be handled with class, but he should not be the de facto coach. And the fact that there's so many fans who they've won a couple games and like, oh, this guy's the greatest, they should just give him the job right now. I'm like, you know, we're 5-6, and you know, 2 months ago, you guys would have just like lost your minds over this situation.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous.
Well, it is time to get lost, guys.
Jeez. Yeah, hashtag get lost to Dave. Dave was talking about it last year. Hashtag get lost to the no shot clock. That's one of my biggest pet peeves in the world, but we talked about it on a previous segment. Come on, PIAA, get that shot clock rolling. Let's go.
I don't know. I'm hashtag get lost, I guess, to all these weird foods for Thanksgiving. You know, why can't we just do pizza? That sounds good, doesn't it?
Come on. I used that one last year, didn't
we? Come on.
You're going to make me talk about food every year. I'm going to bring that back.
No way. Right. You got to have at least good bourbon, good wine, good beer, you know, and good friends and family. Thanksgiving rules. Let's go.
Drink responsibly.
Yes.
Hashtag get lost eating in the middle of the afternoon on Thanksgiving. Either have lunch or dinner, not in the middle. That really screws me up.
Well, who does that?
We do.
Oh, well, you can always change
it. I don't want to get lost to my mom, but that's... Mom, can you move it up a little bit? That'll do it for this week. We'll catch you next week right here on Connect FM.